Now, if you bought yourself a Chrysler in Fort Kent during the 20th century, chances are it was an Etzkowitz who sold it to you. While northern Maine is well known for its Acadian families, perhaps less has been said about the influx of Jewish immigrants who helped shape the area for more than a century. Joining us now is New York journalist Josh Nathan Kazis, a writer for the Jewish Daily Forward. He's a descendant of the Etzkowitz family, whose Fort Kent businesses in the early 20th century ranged from meat and potatoes to automobiles. Nathan Kazis recently traveled to Fort Kent and wrote a piece about his ancestors' pursuit of the American dream. Here's how it starts.
My grandmother grew up in a big house on a hill in Fort Kent, Maine, a few hundred yards from the Canadian border. The house had a porch and a turret, and in the bathroom, a Jewish ritual bath. My grandmother's mother was a religious fanatic. Her father, Jake Etzkowitz, was the potato king.
So tell me more about this man. Who was this man that your family called the Maine Potato King, and how did he come to be known as the Maine Potato King?
So Jake Etzkowitz was born somewhere in Eastern Europe. We actually don't know where, and despite all my research, I couldn't quite figure it out. But his father brought him to Maine when he was about 5 years old. Jake grew up in Fort Kent and over time developed this network of local businesses, sort of a backwoods empire. And by the end of his life, he had potato fields and a potato shipping operation and a garage and a car dealership. He owned part of the local telephone company and part of the local movie theater. Despite being out in the middle of nowhere, he created this little empire of businesses.
Let's back up for just a second. Now, that part of northern Maine, as you mentioned in your piece, is very much known for its Acadian culture, its Canadian and French influences. But you don't hear so much about its Jewish culture. How did this Yiddish-speaking family come to settle in Fort Kent?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. There was a small community of Russian Jews, Eastern European Jews, who seem to have settled in that part of Maine throughout Aroostook County in the beginning of the 20th century. Each family has its own story. I think lots actually had settled first in Brooklyn or somewhere in a major urban center on the East Coast and decided to strike out for opportunity to the north. I think the Etzkowitz story is different. My understanding is that they were farming people, maybe ranching people in Eastern Europe. And the way in which they actually arrived in Fort Kent is sort of a mystery. But somehow these Yiddish-speaking people settled, and there were a decent number of Jews in Fort Kent. They had a very small synagogue. In Presque Isle, there was a B'nai B'rith, the sort of Jewish fraternal order that they founded in, I believe, the 30s or the 40s. And on holidays, people would, gather either in Fort Kent or Presque Isle or elsewhere for celebrations and services. There were a couple of small synagogues, both in Presque Isle and elsewhere. And this community existed for decades, and now it's basically gone.
And it seems pretty clear from your story that that Jake's own intention was to, I guess, get out of Fort Kent, to leave the area, as it seems that your family has done. And maybe those aspirations could be seen in his mode of dress. You mentioned that he was always dressed for Fifth Avenue, no matter where he was, no matter what the circumstances. He'd be in the middle of a field with a two- or three-piece suit on. Was that sort of an indication of where he really wanted to go?
Yeah, or to dress for, the man that he wanted to be. I mean, I don't know exactly what their life was like in Europe, but I do know that growing up, he worked as a butcher in his father's slaughterhouse, and it seems like he wanted to, be more than that. And you can see ambition in this ambition manifesting in other parts of his life story too. He sent both of his sons to Harvard, which I think is more or as much a testament to him as it is to them. And he also, I learned while working on this story, planned to leave Fort Kent. I mean, he planned to, he had this big deal he was apparently working on in the mid-40s that was going to get him out of the county and move to the Boston area. He died of a health issue in the mid-40s before he could do that. I mean, I think he was trying to live the American dream, and I think that it didn't quite work out.
It also sounded like you had some questions as to whether Jake's son Harry got to live his dream, since he had to take over all those Fort Kent businesses when his father passed away, and perhaps scrap plans to go to the city and put that Harvard education to use and become a lawyer. Were you searching for something in trying to chase down these lives? And what did you find? And was it what you were expecting?
It seemed like Harry's life was set up for great disappointment, and his father had clearly wanted something very different for him. But I think what I learned in Fort Kent was that that's the wrong way to look at it, that in fact, Harry's life, Harry assimilated into the town and was a big part of the community there, and that his life was not a tragedy. It's so interesting the way that the Acadian culture has been preserved there. 20 minutes down the road to Allagash, there's a totally different Irish culture that's also been preserved. And 30 minutes down the road to New Sweden and Stockholm, and there's a Swedish culture that's been preserved. And I really love imagining this group of Jews showing up with their own Yiddish language and feeling like, oh, you know, like these people are kind of like us.